Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
So it's all for play for still.
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Aston Villa 1, Tottenham 0, or Tottenham? Why do I always keep on coming back to Tottenham? That's about the fourth or fifth game that we've beaten Spurs about four times since Emery's come in, according to me. Okay, let's pretend that never happened. Aston Villa 1, Southampton 0. Look, we absolutely controlled that game. Southampton had a 10-minute purple patch of the game ruled out, or the goal ruled out. To be honest with you, it wasn't even a question. In real time, I looked at it and I went, that's an obvious foul in the box. Should have been ruled out before that. There shouldn't have been any drama for VAR, but there was. We let our foot off the gas for 10 minutes, but after that, it gave us the kick up the posterior that we needed, and we went on. And fair play to Ollie Watkins for bagging a goal, because it was kind of a goal out of nothing, and we didn't really look like we were going to score from the chance. We weren't really creating chances, albeit we boxed the game. But Paddy, what's your view on it?
Yeah, like as we said in the pre-match, win and win ugly is fine with us, and that's what we did. we were relatively toothless in attack. We got one chance, we scored, rode our luck a little, did the ball in the net twice, didn't we?
Yeah, the first one was obviously offside. I think we played the offside trap. Don't like the offside trap. I think we played that one. It looked like everyone stepped out for me, and then the second one was a clear foul.
It was a clear foul, and they never even checked the handball before it. So I'm not bothered about that.
But two penalties as well.
Well, definitely one. I unfortunately missed the first 15 minutes due to a technical error, we'll call it. So I saw the one anyway where your man rolled him, and I'm sorry, but anyone above us in the league is getting that penalty. It's an absolute 100%. Joke. I thought the ref had a poor game. I thought it was particularly, booking a fella who's obviously right in the decision against the goal being disallowed. That can't be rescinded. As a result, he gets taken off later in the game just in case he picks up a second yellow. I just think these referees are poor. Like, if you're going to allow someone question you, if you're going to allow the big boys swarm around you and not book you, you have to allow one fella question your judgment. And in the end, he was right. So look, we said before the game, we'll go on and on about it. Keep winning. Doesn't matter how ugly it is. 3 points off the European places. We can dare to dream.
I think it was ugly up front, but let's be honest. I can't say that, like, even we mentioned it going into the game beforehand, that we've two strikers on the field and they're both converted wingers, you know. Mm. So you know, the expectation for me wasn't to go out and win 4-0. I was saying maybe 2-1, it would have been won by one by the odd goal. I did actually say Watkins would score because the pressure would be off him and he might score. So but remember as well, people, and it's okay for us to say it amongst ourselves as Villa fans, it's because we're allowed to say it. But if other fans of other teams come up to you and say the Villa are winning, but they're playing really dour and ugly football, and you hear pundits, I want you all to practice with me right now in front of the television, and I want you to extend your hand and lift your two fingers and say the words fuck them, because I'm sick of us rolling over and having to apologize and tip our hats and bury our chins into our chest and go, yeah, I know we're playing bad football and we're only getting away with it. Who cares? If you don't expect this from Unai Emery, you haven't watched football, or you haven't watched Unai Emery play manage a football team. This is what we were to expect. This is what this is what he's done with Villarreal. He hasn't got the players in at Aston Villa to implement potentially what he did against Sevilla. This is what he does. It's stout football. We had 68% of possession. I think finished at 66% of possession. And look, it's okay to be. To puff your chest out and to get flying without wings, but it's okay to puff your chest out. We're on a winning streak. We're on a very good run of form, guys. And if you can't celebrate the good times, then don't get so disappointed in the bad times. That's just my philosophy. So if we win every game 1-0 to the Arsenal, like it used to be 1-0 to the Arsenal. If it's 1-0 to the Villa from here on to the end of the season, we will all be delighted, and we'll have our bad patches, and we'll have patches where we score more goals. But at the moment, you can see a philosophy, you can see an identity, you can see Unai Emery has brought cohesion to this team, albeit it's probably still not there for 90 minutes. I'm going to try not going on any more rants, because that game has really made me so, so happy that we've won that. Really has.
Yeah, I'm not overly happy. I think there's a lot we can talk about with regards to fellas missing in action. I forgot Liam Bailey was on the pitch until he was taken off. I thought he was particularly poor today. It's probably his worst game in a Villa short, and that's probably a reflection on how the game was played more than how he played. He just couldn't get into the game at all. What I said before the game, there's no pressure on him now because there's nobody to come on in his place really. I thought Jacob Ramsey flitted in and out of the game, but when he was in the game, I thought he was excellent. I think he showed there in the last 10 minutes, he's a powerful young man now. If we can just get him on the ball a bit more and let him go on one of those runs or a couple of those in a game, I think we'll benefit from it. So it just gives us that other outlet that makes teams worry about us. So there's a lot to be thankful for today. I think the most important thing is the 3 points, but we're still a few players short. I think with another couple of players, we win that game and we win a handy at a canter. They're a poor side.
They are. I think they are too.
Yeah, we probably, does that goal be disallowed if you're playing Man United? Maybe not. So that's just, we've seen them not being ruled out by the big clubs. We saw Rashford last week creating a title race, letting them back into it. That was definitely an offside decision that went for them. So we can be happy with our day's work, I think, to be coming away from there from 3 points, a place where we've struggled over the last couple of years. So I think it was where Dean Smith met his match, wasn't it? When we lost there. So
yeah,
there's a lot of hoodoos beaten today, plus the third short we won in the third short.
Exactly. But we leaned into it beforehand, Paddy. We said, we're not afraid of no jinx, just like the Ghostbusters. We're not afraid of no ghosts. We're not afraid of any jinx. We're not afraid of any hoodoo. Now, why would we? We've got one of the world's most, I would nearly go so far as to say he would probably be in the world's top 10 managers. Like, for what he's won and what he's done with teams and stuff, you know, you'd have to say active managers at the moment, he's probably one of the world's top 10. Like, lads, we shouldn't be underplaying this. This is like, and as I've said before, you're going to see me like a little child being really excited at times like this. How many games have we played under Unai Emery now? How many games have we played? Seven games, 7 by 3, yeah. 21. Yeah, we've played 7 games. We've lost one and we've drawn one. I sincerely feel that we should not have lost the game that we lost. And I probably think we could have won the game that we drew. this is what we are now. We're a team that's difficult to beat, and we're a team that gets that goal. Those goals United used to get, you know, a team would hold United. You think back to the years of Van Nistelrooy, or even back when Ferguson was there. They'd be very difficult to beat. They'd own possession with 62%. They'd come to Villa Park. Villa Park would be clinging on to a 0-0. And then all of a sudden, Van Nistelrooy scores a header just like that. That Ollie Watkins scores, and you're going, oh, I hate them so much. They've just won 1-0. I hate them so much. I want to be that team. I want to be the team that everybody hates, because all of a sudden we come up with a 1-0 goal and they're going like, oh my God, we had our chances to beat that team. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
And I think another couple of players puts us in a different position, that we're going to those places expecting to go and win 2 or 3 nil and winning 2 or 3 nil, unlike we did today. I want to give a special shout out to a fella who may be overlooked because he didn't have a whole pile to do, but Emi Martinez, the save at the end. And just, you know, I spoke in the pre-match about us playing a high line. We played that high line, and how good was he off his line to play sweeper keeper there? There was a couple of times where obviously the wide shot we couldn't see, the space in behind, and there he was mopping up everything. I thought he was incredible today. And our world-class goalkeeper, who has apparently fallen out with Unai Emery in the past, whatever that is, he's gone bloody nowhere, is he?
It's something that just gets trotted out, isn't it? And until the available evidence that we have changes.
And what you've got to understand is, if you're a goalkeeper who's been at a club for 10 years and you're not playing, of course you're not going to get on with the manager. You want to be playing bloody football. So it is what it is. But he's a different man now to what he was 3 years ago or 4 years ago under Emery. So I'm sure everything is forgotten about from the past. This is a clean slate, as he said. And everybody's going to be treated as it is from a clean slate. So regardless of what went on in the past, I have no worries about Emi Martinez going anywhere. No. And he was brilliant today. That was the
me
point.
Neither, yeah. Absolutely. Captain Emi Martinez. Yes. Captain Emi Martinez. So once again, if I was manager, I'd always give the armband to the fella I've fallen out with, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Also, shout out to Ashley Young. I thought he was brilliant again today. We completely forgot that... What's that guy's name? Walker Peters switched rings since Liveramento came into that team, and he stayed over there. So I thought our fullbacks did well. Moreno, still settling into the Premier League, was caught out a couple of times.
Walker Peters kind of ate his lunch for a bit in the second half, didn't he? And I think that was the difference. Yeah. That's why we looked so... Because obviously we've got a player getting up to the speed in the Premier League, and Walker Peters is their outlet. So, you know, I can... That's where their 10-minute salvo or purple patch or their 15-minute purple patch came from, was down that wing. And it's not to criticise Alex Moreno. You know, we all kind of said that he was an element of surprise against Leeds, and teams were going to see stuff on him as well. And he was coming up against Walker Peters, where he would need to defend a bit more. I actually asked you about that. Yeah. And we said we couldn't tell you, but now we kind of have a bit of an inkling about it now. So,
yeah, it's going to take time to settle for him. Absolutely. It's a much slower game in La Liga, much more rigid approach, much more slow build up than it is in the Premier League. Players are playing, our defences are playing much higher, and he gets a lot of a chance to get in behind the fullbacks in the Premier or in La Liga that he won't in the Premier League. But there's a few people asking there about what does it mean for Matty Cash, Ashley Young? I just think you can't drop Ashley Young when he's playing very well. No. Nothing else, nothing more. If somebody is playing that well, he needs to be in the team. And he's playing incredibly. So, you know, we can't be dropping him.
My view on that with Matty Cash is that, look, Ashley Young isn't going to go on forever. You know, and there used to be this fellow, Paddy, who used to come on this podcast and said Ashley Young would be shit at fullback. Thank God he doesn't come on anymore, because he really hadn't a clue what he was talking about. Can't remember what his name was now, or even what he looked like, to be honest with you. I think he looked a bit like Alex Moreno. He looked like Alex Moreno, didn't he? Yeah, he looked exactly like Alex Moreno.
He's much better looking than Alex Moreno.
do you know what? The most underrated thing that will happen all weekend, and no one is talking about it, and I very rarely tag players in tweets. I had to tag Ashley Young in this because it was sumptuous. Injury time, ball coming over his shoulder, winger bearing down on him, and the way he takes that ball down, you're kidding me. Absolute caramel is the way it was. Like, just composure in a nutshell. And fair play to him. You know, he keeps on coming up against these fast wingers. And he keeps on doing what... Like, he had that game against Man City where he completely nullified De Bruyne. And he's not looked back since. And I have to say, my God, it's the happiest I've ever been to be wrong. Because... that, like, he's just proving such a steadying influence for us at the age of 37. So, Ashley Young, my friend, absolutely, you're welcome for tea anytime in Oranmore, County Galway. I'll tell you that much, because you're absolutely a steadying influence there, and I couldn't wish for anyone else to be back there now. You know, and it's okay to change your mind. That's the beauty of having a mind, as they say. I'm really giddy. Do you know what? Now, I haven't even had a cup of coffee today. Certainly haven't had a drink. I won't be having a drink later on, because I won't need one, because I'll just be going around the place. I love winning dirty. When I mean dirty, I love winning when it could have slipped away from us, because we've been here and we've had our head in our hands going, oh my God, like, how do we lose that game? So many times.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
We got our bit of luck today as well with the decisions, I think. You know, we're...
Yeah, I don't think so. If it's a foul, it's a foul. If it's outside, it's outside.
Yeah. But we've seen so many times we didn't get them. So, look, I'm particularly happy. Let's be honest, it wasn't perfect. There's a lot of things that will need to be looked at. And the man who's no doubtedly going to be manager of the month now, seeing as we don't have another game, is going to be looking very hard at what's around them, and there'll be a couple of things need tightening up. So I am just looking forward to the next 2 weeks and not having to worry about what Villa are going to do other than off the pitch of picking up a few players and just completing this squad. And I think a couple will complete the squad. As you said, we were very, very short on attacking options off the bench today. I just thought it was nice of West Ham to really rush through that transfer and then not play Danny Ings when we could have played him today, and he no doubt would have scored against his old club as he does.
We didn't need
him in the end. There was a time.
We might be saying something different if it was nil-nil.
Yeah, exactly.
Hindsight is 20/20.
Yeah. So look, it's brilliant. We're winning ugly, we're winning often. I don't care about anything else. There's 3 points on the board. If we can continue to do this, we've 8 games won, 8 games lost, and 4 draws. That's verging on European form. So if we can get up to winning half our games, we'll qualify for Europe. So there's a big challenge ahead. We are not that far away. And why wait till next year when we can push on and do this?
Exactly. Where's Rob Henry's comment going? I had to laugh at this. Looking at our back walls, the walls behind us, I've just filled up my lottery ticket. I just noticed how many numbers are in the background. That could be something we might... we might change some of the jerseys that are back there, and then it might be a competition of guess the total added numbers. If you add up all the numbers behind Paddy and all the numbers behind Neil, what's the total number come to? And whoever guesses it wins something. That might be a way to do a prize in future.
You should mention that, because
Sudoku.
I sat down to watch the match today and I got a barrage of messages from a fella who told me I should take down Conor Hourihan because he played for another club and it wasn't right and all this.
Really? Irish, that's how you look there. Irish, yeah, and we like, we are Irish as well. By the way, speaking of Irish, Evan Ferguson.
He's that far away, you probably couldn't tell it was Conor Hourihan. It could be Dion Dublin.
Yeah. Speaking of Irish, Evan Ferguson's header today. Whew, go check it out. I tweeted it.
I could not give a shiny shite about any other team today, only Aston Villa. That was the only result I was looking at today, and the 3 points are in the bag, and nothing else matters.
Can we still win the league? Ricochet wants to know.
That's pushing it a bit much. I could be pushing it saying we get into Europe, but being 4 points off a European place, you know, we've Leicester to come, and then a couple
of 3 points off sixth, yeah.
A couple of saucy ones in Arsenal and Man City, so it might be a little bit of a stretch too far.
It's the only thing that's kind of annoying me about this run recently is we're winning and we're winning and we're winning. We're still in 11th place. We can't jump above Chelsea. So, you know.
Well, that's for Chelsea and Liverpool in front of us. They're going to keep picking up points. Brighton got a valuable point there at the end, scoring in the 88 minute, as you said.
Yeah. So we're 3 points off Brighton, 3 points off Fulham, 1 point off Brentford, you know. So a swing, and we've Leicester next. So, you know, once again, not taking anything for granted, you go into the Leicester game and it's the first game of your season again. And if you win it, it's another 3 points and you see what way the cards fall in front of you. But that's, it's very much this run of games. That's why I was so buoyant about winning this, is because it sets us up in a good mood, winning a game that we should have won, albeit that we nearly let it slip. We go out against Leicester. The confidence within this team is building. And it's like winning differently. Winning against Leeds, we had to soak up pressure, but we always looked like we had something going forward, getting that early goal, number one, I suppose. But we had looked like we had something going forward as well. Creating the chances against Liverpool. We're winning. Like, people want an identity. We're beginning to see what our identity is at the moment. And I'm sure that will change. And as you said, Paddy, we've 10 days now to bring in a striker and our forward options, I suppose, really, whether it's a winger and a striker or just a striker. And that's going to be interesting in itself, because, you know, coming into a buoyant dressing room like that is a nice place to be. And as I say, that's basically it. You know, is that we've got a lot to look forward to over the next 10 days. And we're also sitting pretty in a good position. How many transfer windows have we gone into where we've looked at it and we've gone, we need someone to get us out of the mire? Whereas now we're looking at somebody to come in here. Obviously, we need a striker because we don't have bodies, but we're looking at someone coming here to push us further up the league potentially. So that's exciting in my book.
Mm-hmm. 100%. A couple of people in the comments there saying they don't want Europa Conference. I couldn't give a shit if it's Europa Conference, second division, whatever it is. We need to be at the top table. So if Europa Conference is the next step, if you're trying to attract players, you need to be pushing for European football. If that's the next step, get in there. You know, I could be back here in 3 weeks' time after losing to Arsenal, or a month's time after losing to Arsenal and Man City, and be looking below us. So enjoy this for what it is. If we're pushing for Europe now, let's keep the finger on the pulse. Let's push on and let's get those couple of signings over the line in order to push us into that position. It's so close. It's touching distance. And there's a few clubs there in a false position as far as I'm concerned. It could very easily turn sour for Brentford, for Brighton. All of these could drop off later on. So we need to be in a position where we're pushing and pushing and pushing. And as I said, if we can get up to winning half our games, we will qualify for Europe.
Excellent. Everybody, I don't know really what more to say. As I said, I'm giddy and I'm and you know what? I make no apologies for it, because as I say, you got to celebrate these runs that we're on. Because if you don't, then I don't see any point in I get very disappointed when we lose certain games. And I don't, like, I want to be as commensurately as happy when we win certain games as well. So I'm taking this one all the way to the bank. And as I say, if you meet somebody down the pub tonight, it's a different fan of a different fan base, and he tells you the Villa are winning ugly and sure you're playing crap football and you're fluking wins, remember what I said, extend that right arm, stick up those two fingers and use the phrase that pays. Because let's not care about what anybody else thinks. Let's care about what Aston Villa are doing. We finally have a good manager in the club that looks like he can mould the player. How many times, Paddy, have we sat here? Do we sit here under Steven Gerrard and to some extent under Dean Smith and say, you know, a manager's job is to make the players better? We're seeing better play, more coherent play, more tactically astute play. Yes,
and it's
more
not, a big it's not finished. Up, it's not. It's not the finished exactly. Article. As I said at the start, you know, Bailey wasn't up to it today. He was missing for long, long periods of the game. He didn't do anything for me at all. Watkins the same, flitted in and out. Did what he had to do well, but flitted in and out. Ramsey went missing. Buendia went missing. Coutinho didn't a whole pile when he came on. We're still a good way off. Yes, we still got the 3 points on the board. That's the only thing that we can take out of today. And we won and won ugly and we're all happy.
Exactly. Absolutely. 100%. I really appreciate everybody being on. There's 502 people on here. I've often said it before. There's often been television shows on RT at prime time that haven't gotten 502 people watching them. So this is some achievement from you guys. And thanks a million, should I say, to you guys for tuning in here. If you aren't a normal subscriber to the YouTube, please click on subscribe on YouTube channel. costs you nothing. It really does us a favor. And give this a thumbs up as well and like the stream. I'm going to leave you on my final little thought here about this game is that, you know, it's that there's going to be changes over the next 10 days to something, to maybe our. I still think that Unai Emery has earmarked these, well, he didn't earmark these 10 days because he would have expected to still be in the FA Cup. But I think as plans changed and scheduling changes, players are going away for a few days, I think, to recuperate. And when they get back in here, I would imagine there's going to be a few new faces. But also, I'd imagine that as we start to play over the next few weeks, obviously, we've got Leicester, then we're going to have to batten down the hatches for Arsenal and Man City, as you said. And then we've got a run after that of Everton, Crystal Palace, West Ham, Bournemouth. You know, we might see our play evolve a bit more so from being the devolve back into six at the back to try and make things difficult and then catch teams in the break. We saw today that didn't really work for us when we were given the ball at times in the first half. Our passing is getting a bit better. Our playing out from the back is getting a bit better. One piece I will say is about Emi Martinez that when you said he played really well, Paddy, is, you know, there was a couple of times there where the straight ball out when he had the ball at his feet, the straight ball in front of him was on, and he consciously made the effort to go out as wide as he could to Ashley Young, specifically in the second half in the last 10 minutes. This is all the learning process. And when you look back over this game, it's really, really important to kind of take that into account. And yes, we're clunky up top, but hopefully hopefully over the next 10 days, we will see some people come in that may be able to help alleviate that as well. So yes, please smash the like button, I think is the phrase that people use on YouTube. But don't smash it too much, because that means it won't work the next time. So just press it gently is all I want you to do. I don't even want you to smash it, because if you smash it, you break it. But thanks so much, everybody, for joining us. I really appreciate it. Aston Villa are in a good place. There's going to be a lot of transfer rumours coming up. And if you think I'm not going to cover them, you're on a completely different planet. I'm going to start covering people, because the mood I'm in now, I might throw out about 5 podcasts between now and when I go to bed tonight about players that I want to sign for Aston Villa. So if you want to be involved in them, click the thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. But thanks so much, everybody, for joining us. Paddy, go enjoy your afternoon now. And remember, Aston Villa can't ruin our weekend from here on in. So all that's left to say, everybody, is stay safe, stay healthy, and above all else, up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Sports Social Podcast Network.